Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com. Now, here's your host, Ben Milam.
Oh, yes. Another Monday, another Crusader Talk. We are talking all things William Carey Athletics. So good to be back with you. We are live on Supertalk 97.3, supertalkhattiesburg.com on the web, and wherever you get your favorite podcast. If you miss any part of the show, or if you have missed a previous edition of Crusader Talk and want to go back and listen, just search Crusader Talk on your favorite podcast platform, and you will be able to catch us. My name is Ben Milam, alongside my partner, Caleb Hamill, Will Tony, our producer engineer. We are pre-recording this on Sunday evening as we had baseball wiped off the schedule Saturday due to a little bad weather and moved to Monday at 6 o'clock. So if you are listening to this right now, we are underway at Milton Wheeler Field in Game 3 against number 7 Mobile. Crusaders going for the sweep. A big, big weekend for the William Carey Baseball Crusaders. And right on topic, we are going to zero in on the first two games of this series and talk the last couple of weeks as well with the head man of the William Carey Baseball Crusaders, Bobby Halford. Coach, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure.
All right, Coach, before we get into the doubleheader on Friday, the doubleheader sweep for your Crusaders, let's talk these last couple of weeks and some ups and downs a little bit. It had a 13-game win streak. That's the up. And then 2 out of 3 lost in Montgomery to a very, very talented Faulkner Ball Club, who, of course, in the preseason was ranked number 5 in the country. Had fallen off a little bit, but very, very talented ball club. Talk us through these last couple of weeks leading up to this weekend.
Well, we had played well, and we continue to play well in the Faulkner series. We had one bad inning, a couple of bad innings, gave up a 2-run homer late that just kind of broke our back, and then just kind of we failed out of the bullpen, basically what it amounted to. We didn't get a quality start. You know, our starter only lasted 3 innings, 4 innings, that type of thing, so we had to go to the bullpen early. So that was kind of the undoing, and that's kind of been the undoing when we haven't played well. And a lot of that is, we've had injuries. I mean, we've been kind of ravaged by injuries in our pitching staff. You know, A.J. Simpson's missed some time. Andrew Shira's missed time. You know, a couple of relievers have been hurt, or three of the guys out of the pen have been hurt. So it's just been kind of a revolving door a little bit, trying to mix and match and piece together. And it's just difficult sometimes when you're having to call on some guys that that have normally been there, but they're not there. So you had to put in some new people, and that's just kind of the way baseball works. You know, it's a marathon, and you have to kind of weather the storms, the good and the bad. And I think sometimes that, just matchups and that type thing kind of play out. And, in the Faulkner series, they got really good, pitching from their bullpen. They had a couple of guys that came in through extremely well, and we just basically didn't do it. And so, but we had chances, and I think that's the great thing about this team. We're never out of a game. I mean, we have guys that, are used to coming back and used to being there at the end. And so we always feel good that, we'll just do what we have to do, but we're going to have a chance to win, and that's all you can ask from the guys.
Tuesday night, you host Mississippi College out of NCAA Division II, a 9-8 loss, your third consecutive loss for the first time in 2023. I think that's a testament to the consistency that your guys have had. But that one particularly, a little bit of a funky game and a funky way to lose, too. What did you tell the guys after that game ahead of this big series this past weekend?
Well, the good thing is we had to start a reliever. We had to start a guy that had been relieving for us all year, and he's had an injury that he's only been good for about an inning or two, and then he's down for 2 or 3 days and that type of thing. So I told him at Faulkner, I said, look, he warmed up and he sat back down, and then he couldn't do it. in a situation we had to put somebody in that was inexperienced. So I told him after that game, you're going to start the next game because, you know, it's taking you too long to get loose. And then when you do, you're not bouncing back because of the injury. So, you know, he was solid for three innings and then he ran out of gas. And so, we got behind. We got behind like 7-1. But then the good thing is we had a chance to win the game in the last inning. We had one of our better hitters up. We had two of our best runners on base.
Yeah.
And he fouls the ball straight down. It bounces straight up. And the catcher just plucked it out of the, you know, he just got it out of the air and tagged him. You know, and it was kind of a controversial. I mean, I think the call could have gone either way. And I just thought it was kind of, you know, you hate to see a game end that way.
But at
the same time, we were in a really good position to win that game because we had two of our best base stealers. And we were going to run on that next pitch, and we would have stolen both bases. We would have been in scoring position for a hit, and it would have won the game. But it didn't turn out that way. And, you know, the guy had to give Mississippi College credit because, you know, they've had an up and down year, but they played all these teams really tough and lost a lot of one-run, two-run games. So we knew coming in, you know, the quality opponent and that type of thing. But then going into Mobile, of course, you know, we were all pointing to Mobile because we realized we were two games behind them.
Right.
And we knew we had to, you know, do what we have to do. And so tomorrow, you know, tonight or whatever is going to be, you know, at this point, the biggest game of the year, as far as the regular season conference, situation, because we are basically same in the loss column as Mobile, but we would hold a tiebreaker.
Coach, you're alluding to where I'm headed in this. You start this series behind two games on Mobile in the SSAC standings, and you come out guns blazing in game number one with a stellar start from Andrew Shira. I'm across the way at the sports complex over at softball, and we typically have pretty quick games. And all of a sudden, we wrap up our game, and I look over my shoulder, and Ben's standing behind me. I was like, what are you doing over there? Shouldn't you be calling a game? He's like, we've already won, man. What's to do?
Yeah, and that was an interesting game because the score really didn't indicate how close the game was. It was like 1-1 going into the fourth or fifth inning. Their guy was pitching extremely well, left-handed pitcher. And we didn't score for three innings. And finally, we scored and tied the game and just kind of kept chipping away and that type thing. Then we started to roll a little bit. And, you know, the 9-2 wasn't indicative of how that game was played. And in the second game, of course, that was a Donnybrook that, you know, lasted, you know, a long time. And we were able to have a great quality at bat by Patrick Lee against a guy throwing 95 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, their guy is one of the top pitchers. And he's a two-way guy. He plays center field, and he also pitches. And, I mean, the future's pretty bright for this kid. I mean, he's throwing 95 miles an hour consistent. And his slider's off speed was like 86, 87. So I felt really fortunate that, you know, we had the guy up there in that situation that has the experience and has been there. And he basically said he just had to just kind of spread out and try to put the ball in play, which he nice little bouncer up the middle to win the game.
Well, Coach, I'm curious, in this Monday night game that we are currently playing, if you're listening on the Monday evening, you don't often get 2 days between the final of a series. Preston Ratliff, who has been your Sunday man starting on the mound through two innings in the second game of that doubleheader on Friday, do you handle the pitching any different because of this break? How do you handle that?
Yeah, you know, and I was telling Coach Evers and also Coach Smith when we started that game on Friday, the second game, I said, look, you know, let's use Ratliff in relief if we have to because we're probably going to get rained out tomorrow.
Mm.
And I said, I don't want to sit there with our third starter who's been really good the last few weeks, and Snyder's been kind of – his arm's been bothering him a little bit and hasn't been John Snyder like he's been early in the season. A little of fatigue with it and that type thing. And I said, well, let's use him to win the game. And then we'll go, you know, we'll take it as it comes. We have Dario Herrera, who has been consistent in midweek, and we feel good about him, and we feel like that, you know, he'll start the game, the third game.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how it worked out, because I basically said you would hate to, you know, have your best guy, one of your best guys, and, you know, let's win today. Let's take it just like a tournament. And that's the way I play most of the time anyway. I never, well, we're going to save this guy. If you have a chance to win a game, we're going to win it. And so and then we'll worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes, because, you know, you can get rained out. And there's a lot of other variables. You might out hit the team the next time. So that's kind of the philosophy that we've had. And, you know, tomorrow night we'll, or tonight, we'll have basically most of our guys on deck. We'll have Caleb Williams, who pitched well against Mississippi College for 3 innings. We'll have him. We'll also have Ratliff for an inning or two. Snyder, we'll kind of wait and see how he feels. So, you know, we'll have all of our guys. And so that's kind of what we're planning on. And also, you know, we might have to move our games with Blue Mountain on the road because they're calling for rain next weekend.
Oh,
so, you know, a lot of different things play into who pitches and when they pitch and that type thing. And, the time, the rest that they have. So you want to make sure that's taken care of.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time as always. As you mentioned, a big, big baseball game tomorrow night. And if you're listening to this on Super Talk 97.3, it's happening right now. So we will see you then, Coach. Best of luck. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Bobby Holford, head coach of our baseball Crusaders. When we come back, we will set the stage a little more for that game that is happening right now. I'm having a hard time balancing that a little bit.
But hey, we got to talk tennis too.
Yeah, we've got a whole lot more to talk about. So don't go anywhere. This is Crusader Talk.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Crusader Talk, rolling right along on a Monday evening. So very good to have you with us. I want to thank Bobby Holford for joining us, spending a little bit of his Sunday with us as we are recording this ahead of a big, big matchup with Mobile that we talked about there. We'll break down the few weeks ahead for baseball and softball a little bit later in the show. But now we will zoom in a little bit on the men's and women's tennis programs at William Carey. We are rejoined by Mark Lux, head coach of our men's and women's tennis programs. Strong regular season for both sides, particularly the men, the regular season champions after this past weekend. We will get into the nitty-gritty of that here in just a second. The women also will be the 4 seed headed into the conference championships this week. Coach, thanks for being back with us. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for having me back on the show.
Well, Coach, let's before we get into this upcoming week and what happened this past weekend, let's go back a little bit. When we talked to you last, we were looking ahead at what was to come, the full schedule. Give us your overall thoughts, a flyover look at how you feel like both sides have performed this season in the regular part of the schedule.
I'm starting with the girls. So the girls, actually, the first match was against Xavier, and we had a German transfer from a NCAA school, which unfortunately didn't get her eligibility for this year based on playing a scrimmage match in the fall at her old school. We were all a little bit down about that because she was a top player, which would have made a big difference in our single and double lineup.
Yeah.
So we headed into the season with just 6 girls. So that means there are 6 singles, 3 doubles. Everybody always had to play. I think the girls did really, really well. Unfortunately, we had even on those girls a couple of injuries where we actually had to play just with 5 girls once. But they were just fighting, hanging in there. And I know we had Sunny on the show. She's been a tremendous asset as a freshman to our team. She really stepped up in singles and doubles. And the girls had a win against St. Thomas, number 10 in the country, which they beat Xavier 2 days prior, which were the number 4 in the country. And she won singles and doubles, and we beat Mobile 6-1, which had big wins prior to us beating them. It was actually 5-2. Again, Sunny won singles and doubles. And we have a great player also at the number 1, with Joan Ortega, who won almost all her matches. I think she just lost one single match and won all her other matches. She most likely will be the player of the year in the conference and newcomer of the year. And we're looking forward. We had some setbacks on the women's side, but we're looking forward now to compete and finish strong. We are the number 4 seed. But I feel like we have the chance to win a conference championship. We have to believe. And if we believe and put in the work in the next 2 weeks, I think we'll make it happen.
Well, let's stay on the women's side here, Coach. I'll ask you about the men in just a second, but I want to go back to, I mean, you talked about you're shorthanded, and I imagine that affects how you prepare, how you are able to practice. Are you able to have full workouts in terms of how you're setting things up? I mean, there are obviously a lot of moving pieces when you have injuries and girls you thought were going to play. How has that affected the preparation throughout this whole season?
Yeah, if you go into a season with just six girls, everybody knows they have to play. You got to give a little bit responsibility to the girls. So you cannot push them extremely because everybody knows their body best. So we said, look, obviously we want to have always a full practice, but if you know your shoulder hurts or you have some issues, you got to be smart, you know. And I think it comes always down to being transparent, communication, to talk to the players, and they know how they feel inside and know how their body feels. And I think we had in the we started kind of strong, and then we had some issues, especially when we played 3-4 matches in a row. Mm-hmm. And then we had a little bit time to regroup and work on some things, and really had then 3-4 matches we won with a big result. And this weekend we had a chance to win regular season, and it didn't happen. It was very close. But I think we learned a lot from this weekend, and we have now 2 weeks where we don't have matches going into this conference tournament. We're going to rest. We're going to know exactly what we need to do in order to beat those teams, because we played everyone now, and we're going to make those adjustments. And I'm fully confident that those girls, if they believe in themselves and if they play fearless, and you got to be a tough competitor. I think most matches we really beat ourselves. Like this weekend, we were up 5-2. We didn't win the set. We were up 6-5, 40 love, so 4 set points, didn't win it. Up in the tiebreak, 4-1. So many, many chances. And some of the girls, they get a little bit tight. And that has nothing to do really with tennis. It's that competitive spirit. And they have our trust. And they just need to start believing also in themselves. And if that happens, I'm very, very confident that we can win the conference championship. We're definitely going to go in there with thinking we can win it. So 100%. So we have 3-4 girls believing. We just got to get the entire team. So I said, if you win, do something special in the tournament, it cannot be just 4 players. It really got to be 6 players who are competing, and I'm looking forward to it, and I believe they will do that.
I believe as we are too. Now, I'm afraid that what we've done here is in the business we call burying the lead, and that's what is the story with your men's team. Talk us through this. I mean, the number one seed at William Carey as far as the conference tournament is concerned, and they kind of did it in dramatic fashion over this weekend. I want to just start with this Middle Georgia State game. I mean, what an effort from your team battling back after losing the doubles point, which we all know that sets the tone for your whole match. Then you lose on the number one singles court, but from there, your Crusaders stood tall and challenged Middle Georgia State to the very end.
Yes. On the men's team, I tell you, we got ballers. We got guys who they have no fear. They play fearless. They compete. They love to be in big moments. We had actually at number two, we were up a set, and then we second set was in a tiebreak, and our player was down 1-6, and he came back to win 8-6. It just shows that it's joy to watch them, see them believe in themselves, how fired up they are, how much they support each other. I think overall, at William Carey, just since I'm there, I think in the last 8 years, we never lost to any team outside the top 10. So also this year, we just lost to the number 2, 5, 6, and 7. That's the only losses we had all year. And the interesting thing is we had 3 new players, 2 freshmen, a grad student from Germany. And somehow it's in the culture. We have this competitive spirit that even if they're new, they know what it's like to or what it means to wear this William Carey jersey. It's being a competitor, be fearless, and I'm just super proud. And Even we had Daniel Klimov, who was our number one player, regional champion, national champion. He graduated in February, had plans for a master, but decided to go back to Germany for now. So a lot of teams looked at us, oh, they lost their number one player. Kerry's not going to be as good this year. And here we are again, winning the regular season championship.
We're talking to Mark Lunks, head coach of our men's and women's tennis programs here at William Carey. Coach, few minutes left before we let you go. Looking ahead in a couple of weeks to the SSAC championships for both the men's and women's side. You said you learned a few things about both sides there. What did you learn, and how do you move that forward and take care of business in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think we, on the men's side, we need to improve doubles. We cannot always go down 0-1 and expect to win four singles out of six. So the focus in the next 2 weeks will be definitely on doubles, to improve the doubles, to improve the percentage of our first serve, and especially returns, and then also be aggressive at the net. If you win, it's a set to six, so it's very fast paced. You got to set the tone from the very first point. And same on the girls' side. We've got to improve our doubles, but at the same time also make sure that we have from 1-6 fearless competitors who really go out there and enjoy it. Because I said we only have regrets if we play fearless. You know, losing is okay, but you got to give it to all, and you got to play fearless. And if you lose with fear and you beat yourself, that hurts watching, and I know it hurts the girls. So like I said, be fearless out there, believe in yourself, believe in your teammates, support your teammates, and we're going to live with the result regardless, win or lose. Those two teams from the team spirit are incredible. Hugo and me, we are so proud. Hugo, also my assistant, he's done a tremendous job of assisting me and helping the teams. And it's just a phenomenal season. We win or not, but it's just it's a bonus to win. But we are so proud of them and happy to be Crusaders and represent our school in best manner as we can on the court.
Yeah, Coach, well, we are very proud you're a Crusader as well. We'll be pulling for you in a couple of weeks. Great finish to the regular season. Best of luck. We'll talk to you soon. When we come back, we will continue the conversation. We'll take a little closer look at the baseball and softball and how it sets up for the next couple of weeks. And we will take a trip around the rest of all the action for William Carey moving forward as we finish out the spring. This is Crusader Talk. Be back in just a moment.
The coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on. You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Rolling right along on Crusader Talk. So good to have you with us. Ben Milam, Caleb Hamill, our producer engineer, Will Tony, holding down the ones and twos in the Hattiesburg studio. Big thanks to Bobby Halford, head coach of our baseball Crusaders, and Mark Lux, our head tennis man at William Carey. He, as we talked about there, leads a red-hot men's side into the SSAC championships in a couple of weeks' time. They'll get a little bit of space to breathe, which is good, as we talked about there, especially for the ladies who have played shorthanded all year long and have still had a really strong season. They will be the four seed headed into the SSAC championships.
Isn't that kind of incredible to still be the four seed and have just six players? I mean, imagine baseball if you only had nine players on your team, basketball with just five, and you're talking about tennis with the bare minimum.
Well, it's remarkable, and it's again a testament to the success, the consistency that Coach Lux has built up, and the talent of those ladies that have played and have had to play every possible match and set because you have no one else. Okay, let's talk a little baseball. You know, we said we were going to set the stage a tad bit further. It is a four-horse race. I think we can call it that at this point. Maybe five. But, it is crowded at the top of the SSAC baseball standings. Coming into this evening's game, which, again, is happening right now. This is pre-recorded a day early, so me and Caleb can both be at the park to call that game.
That's not selfish of us to be at the park at a day like this, right?
I don't think so.
No, not at all.
I don't think so. We'll see what Will Tony says when we see him again. University of Mobile and William Carey University tied for first place after William Carey gets the doubleheader sweep over the number 7 ranked Rams. Both carry a 13-4 record into that Monday night game 3 finale of that series. Loyola and Talladega, one game behind. Loyola is the third of the three SSAC teams in the top 25. Talladega was knocking on the door a little earlier in the season of that top 25, played a very difficult non-conference schedule. Of course, took 2 out of 3 from William Carey in Hattiesburg in the opening conference series. Faulkner, 2 games back of Loyola and Talladega at 10-8. They are 3 games out of first place. Will be 4 games out of first place, whoever wins on Monday evening between William Carey and Mobile. But Caleb, wouldn't have it any other way.
Oh, no. Always a race to the finish line. And no season is ever exciting whenever things are won in like 2 weeks to go or anything like that. No, we need the photo finish.
We are going to get it. William Carey was the first to 30 regular season wins in the overall record column and will hold. So this is when you start to sort of look at the tiebreakers. If William Carey and Mobile finish with an identical record, William Carey will hold the tiebreaker by virtue of winning the series. But boy, you would love a sweep to have a 1-game lead and sole possession of first place over the Rams of Mobile and Loyola. Again, a game back coming into this Monday set. That will be the final conference series to finish the regular season, Caleb, in Hattiesburg. That's going to be a fun weekend.
That will be, one, I think it's going to be a great crowd for that game. If everybody understands what's at stake for that weekend, there's no question in my mind, Milton Wheeler will be a terrific environment for baseball.
Well, it's going to be rocking on both ends. Here's a segue for you. Softball will also have a big final regular season series against the Rams of Mobile, who have been a top 10 team all year long, split with the Rams in Mobile, 4-2 win and a 6-3 loss. That will take place on Friday of that final weekend. And another example of a crowded top of the standings. This past weekend, just to recap it quickly, the Crusaders got a nice and needed doubleheader sweep of Stillman College, a scrappy Stillman College who's much improved. We talked about that last week. A 7-0 win on Friday in game 1 of that affair in that doubleheader. And then 3-2 in extras. Caleb, you were on a call for that. What'd you see?
So first of all, let's talk about the 7-0 victory. We've mentioned ad nauseum, especially last week, about how much improved Stillman has been as a softball program, mainly because of their pitching that they have brought in this year, transferring Lexi McRae and then a freshman in Faith Byram. And bless it for Lexi McRae, who started that first game, one out in the bottom of the first inning. She takes a rocket from Carly Kidder.
Yeah.
Right off of her throwing hand as it trickled into center field. And this was not one of those things where she's trying to make a play and stick the hand out there that's closest to make a play. No, she was just trying to get out of the way, and that was the last bit of her body before the ball got there.
Yeah.
And so it was very easy to see from the stands and my vantage point that she was not going to continue. Now, give Jasmine Wade, the reliever, credit. She tried to hold them back as well as they could, that is the Crusader offense. But at that point, once you've gotten into that bullpen, you've gotten a little bit of a spark. You had already had a 1-0 lead whenever McRae left the game and had runners on base. So it just kind of set William Carey up for success. And may I add, Haley Nations is back. She is back to her old ways. Yeah. And so the Crusaders are going to ride that momentum wave of Nations in her success, because she, I think, had a total of 3 base runners in that entire game, and only 2 of them or actually only one of them was left on base at the end of an inning. The first one was erased on a double play. That was a walk that got that runner on. The next one was a base hit, and she was erased on a caught stealing. And so Haley was dominant. And that's the kind of efforts that William Carey will need as the season continues, especially in these next few weekends.
Coming into today, again, had bad weather roll through on Saturday. And today, when I say today, I mean Sunday afternoon, a doubleheader a day late against Blue Mountain Christian, who has been scrappy all year long, have lost a lot of close ball games. This was a big two-piece for the Crusaders, because if you got two wins at Joseph and Nancy Fayol Field, you would be tied for first place with Middle Georgia State, who does not hold the tiebreaker. That's 2-2, and I think it goes to overall record, and the Crusaders would have the overall. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
I don't know that it's overall. I would bet it is the record against the common opponents or the highest ranked team that both have played.
I think
in which it would be Mobile.
It may not be softball, but in one of these sports, it's overall record. But again, we will cross that bridge when we get there, because everybody does that differently, and a lot of different ways that could go. But the Crusaders now tied for first place with Middle Georgia State after a big doubleheader sweep of Blue Mountain Christian.
Yeah, and now here's the thing we have to keep in mind. So as we were calling that game for Stillman versus William Carey, we're watching Blue Mountain and Mobile.
Yeah.
That was what you mentioned, the scrappiness of Blue Mountain. They went to extras with Mobile in game two of that one and had a runner in scoring position in the eighth, could not get her in. Mobile was able to walk it off in the bottom half. But Mobile, like William Carey, were in close proximity to each other, weren't able to play their games on Saturday. They will be playing those two games left on their schedule from the weekend on, as you listen, today, Monday. And so with that, if they're able to get the two-game win over Stillman, which with that injury to Lexi McRae, it's quite possible they'll definitely get that first win against Faith Byram in game two, that's the toss-up. So with that, we may see a three-way tie atop the SSAC at the end of Monday.
Well, and that again speaks to the depth and the quality of depth on the softball side for the SSAC. We talked about this last week, that this historically has been a top-heavy conference. It's been William Carey and Mobile carrying most of the weight. Faulkner, kind of in a close third. Those three bunched together have really led the way. But Middle Georgia State obviously have had a really strong year. They're in a great place to make a run at the regular season title. Blue Mountain Christian, they're down in the standings, but a whole lot of really narrow losses. They have, like they did today, competed with the top of the conference. Stillman sitting at fourth place. We talked about last week what a remarkable turnaround those ladies have had. The conference tournament is going to be a whole lot of fun. A 5-1 victory in game one of the doubleheader for the softball Crusaders against Blue Mountain on Sunday afternoon, and then 3-2 in extra innings. So another heartbreaker for the Lady Toppers, another extra innings loss to a top 15 ball club. But Coach Fletcher and his ladies continue to play well. They got the four wins they needed, and we look ahead. They will go on the road this weekend to Alabama. They will take on Talladega College.
Which that'll be an automatic win, because they have had to forfeit all their games.
They do not have the numbers to compete,
right?
I believe, yeah. And so two wins will come by way of forfeit on Friday. Thank you for the reminder there, Caleb. And then two big ones in Montgomery against Faulkner. 1 o'clock start there, but as Coach Halford told us in our first segment, some rain moving through the southeast, so that there could be a schedule change there. And as always, we point you to gowcucrusaders.com for any updates you need, weather-wise or otherwise. And after that weekend, 1 week of softball remaining. How quick does that happen?
It flies by. And two things before we jump into this final point. Two walk-off wins for William Carey. And candidly, I want to say they're probably the most nonchalant of walk-off victories I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
The game against Stillman featured a runner at third for William Carey and less than two outs. But routine fly ball into shallow center field. Runner's not going to tag and come home. But the center fielder for Stillman anyway throws home just to be safe and throws it away. Like, it throws it way offline and away from the catcher. It goes to the backstop. Winning run comes in. And then, as we record today, the Blue Mountain College, or Blue Mountain Christian, they've changed their name, game was a bases loaded walk to win it.
Yep. A walk-off walk. Gotta love it. And to boot, as we touched on with Coach Holford, a walk-off win in Game 2 of the doubleheader against number 7 Mobile, Patrick Lee. Base hit up the middle on a 95-mile-an-hour fastball with the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth. You'll take that every day of the week. They'll try to take that to the bank for a third win against Mobile tonight. It is Monday evening to try to get sole possession of first place in the conference. Few more things to talk about as we put a bow on it in our final segment. That and a whole lot more coming your way right after this. This is Crusader Talk. Wrapping things up on Crusader Talk. It was great to have you with us. Great to have Bobby Holford with us earlier in the show, breaking down and reviewing big, big weekend for the Crusaders against Mobile and setting up these final 2 weeks of the regular season after this series against Mobile. And a big thank you to Mark Lux. Always great to talk to Coach Lux, head coach of our men's and women's tennis program. They will get a couple of weeks off, and then they will both go compete for a conference championship. Ben Milam, Caleb Hamill, Will Tony with you on Crusader Talk tonight. If you missed any of the show, want to go back and listen to what Coach Holford or Coach Lux said, or what me and Caleb said in our third segment, that is also valid. You can go and listen in podcast form wherever you get your favorite podcast under the Super Talk banner. Just search Crusader Talk. It'll come right up. You can listen to whatever episode and edition you want to listen to. Okay, Caleb, a few more things on softball. We mentioned the four games this weekend, but looking ahead to these final 2 weeks, Blue Mountain this weekend, this past weekend, and what we expect will be two forfeit wins against Talladega, a big two-piece against Faulkner, and then you will wrap it up on Thursday, April 27th, 2 weeks, because you move it up a day ahead of the conference tournament against Mobile. And then, as we've talked about, baseball, depending on how this next weekend goes, more than likely both of these sides, for Coach Holford, his baseball Crusaders, for softball Coach Fletcher and his ladies, will either be looking to seal or compete for a regular season championship about 50 yards away from each other at the same time. That is going to be a little bit of fun, my friend.
Is there enough room in that complex for all of the melee that's going to ensue?
Oh, we're going to find out soon enough.
Yeah, because I looked at Mobile's schedule. They also have Talladega left in their doubleheader, so those will be two automatic wins for Mobile as well. I think Middle Georgia State has already collected those from this week.
I believe so.
So they've got a little bit more of an uphill climb, but still obviously in contention to be in that three-way race for first.
Yeah.
But the fact that you have likely the numbers one and two teams battling for the final regular season showdown at Joseph and Nancy Failfield is pretty special.
Yeah, plenty to still take care of ahead of that weekend. We mentioned doubleheader against Faulkner this upcoming Saturday, and Faulkner was the one that knocked Middle Georgia State closer to the rest of the crowd. Middle Georgia State had a 2.5-game lead because of some schedule things that shifted around, but Faulkner and Middle Georgia State played two doubleheaders within a week of each other. Faulkner took 3 of 4 against Middle Georgia State. That is where you go this upcoming Saturday. So that's going to have a lot to do with how the picture shapes up this upcoming, or to end the regular season in 2 weeks' time. And obviously, a lot to take care of for baseball. I want to remind you, the final game of the series against Mobile happening right now, which is why we are recording a little ahead of time. But I feel like we've sufficiently talked about softball and baseball. Big weeks for some of our other Crusader sports, track and field. Coach McKenzie and his crews will head to Mobile Friday and Saturday to compete in the SSAC championships and try to tack an outdoor championship for the men onto an indoor championship, for the women, and the men finished second. So both of those sides in really good position to make some noise in Mobile this weekend, the track and field SSAC championships. Men's golf will compete in the SSAC championship tournament starting today, that is Monday through Wednesday, down in Greenville, Alabama at Cambrian Ridge. And as we talked to Coach Mixon a couple of weeks ago, he really, really likes this group on the men's side and feel like they have a chance both individually and on the team side of things to make some noise. So, Caleb, we might have to have a full edition of Crusader Talk just reading off a piece of paper how many championships William Carey has won. They're in that good of a position in a whole lot of different spring sports to do exactly that.
If we have to do a championship recap show every week for the summer, I'll be okay with that.
I will be just fine with that, and I think DJ Pulley would be okay with that as well. Okay, Seder of the Week. Man, there were a lot of different directions we could have gone. As always, Haley Nations was one of the first names that came up. She makes her return, getting closer to 100% as we got the good word from Coach Fletcher after today. Him and Josh West had a good conversation. Maybe not quite to 100% yet, but man, had a really, really strong weekend. But going to keep it on the softball side of things. What I feel like is a clear winner, I'm going to name our Seder of the Week, Alex Davis, 3-for-3 in game number 1, 2-for-4 in game number 2, 5-for-7 in that doubleheader to really carry a lot of weight for the offense. And the offense was slow going in that second game. Alex Davis kind of broke the seal and got the engine churning, so to speak. So Alex Davis is our Seder of the Week. Caleb, we're going to have a whole lot to talk about next week and the week after that. This is just, there is no better time in college sports, in my opinion, and no better time to be a William Carey Crusader.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, and I'm not talking about Christmas.
It's the most wonderful
time. Watch out, we'll get canceled.
Hey, we always appreciate you tuning in. If you don't tune in, it doesn't matter. So we hope to have you back with us next week, Monday, 7 o'clock, as always, for Caleb Hamill and Will Tony. My name is Ben Milam. This has been Crusader Talking. Until then, good night, and go Saders.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.